Last week, Pastor gave us an overview into the book of Revelation and different churches in Revelation, isn't it? And one of the focus, the church of Philadelphia. Why? Because the Philadelphia church is one of the church that receive commendation from our Lord Jesus for their works and conduct. Amen. Today, we want to focus on another letter. It's the shortest of all the letter to the seven church. But it is packed with encouragement. The church in Smyrna, you know, like Philadelphia, received no condemnation, but only commendation. Amen. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Just a little bit of background, you know, like Ephesians. Smyrna was known for its adultery and emperor worship. The city had temples dedicated to several gods. And this is what is happening. The city was also proud of being faithful to Rome, a city. So Romans chapter 2, verse 8 to 11. Verse 8, to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who said they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid for what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful. Everybody say, be faithful. Be faithful. Even to the point of death, and I will give you life as your victor's crown. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. The one who is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. Amen. The church in Smyrna was greatly persecuted. Their life were threatened, but God said, don't worry, you will overcome. You will not be hurt by the second death. The believers in Smyrna were willing to submit to the civil authority, but they refused to bow down or worship the emperor as God. And because of this, they were branded as rebels and faced the wrath of Roman government. You know, the believers has also been robbed of their possessions. They could not find employment because they were discriminated against. No one wanted to know as hiring rebels of the Roman government. So they were greatly persecuted, the church of Smyrna. And the church of Smyrna had every human reason to collapse, but they remained faithful to God. And they had true riches, salvation, holiness, grace, peace, and the promise of heaven and eternal life. The Smyrna church was rich spiritually. Often, persecution brings about greater faithfulness. It purifies the church and removes those who are not truly have a strong relationship with our Lord Jesus. And the church becomes purer and more faithful. The church of Smyrna represent for us the persecuted church. You and I, every one of us here, I believe so, don't understand persecution. We have not truly been persecuted for our faith. But in the world today, there are those who are persecuted for their faith in Jesus, even to the point of death. It is important, church, and timely this morning to ask, how should we respond? Because we are likely to experience persecution at some point because of our allegiance to Christ and the gospel. Remember, the spiritual battle between the good and the bad will continue until Christ returns in all his glory. And the devil will one day be bound for all eternity. Amen? So what is persecution? Christian persecution is any hostility experienced from the world. because of one identification with Jesus Christ. In fact, persecution is such a part of puzzle of serving Jesus that we should question our allegiance to Christ if we don't experience some form of persecution for his sake. Because Peter himself said, don't be surprised. This is part of being a Christian. It should be expected. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. Jesus said, if they persecute me, they will persecute you also. John chapter 15, verse 20. You see, Jesus said this, the world hate me anyway. The world hate me first. If the world hates you, don't be surprised, church, because know that the world hate me first before it hates you. You see, John said the light, which is referring to Jesus, said that the light has come into the world. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. See, the world today is living in sin. We love sin and we wouldn't want to give up sin because we want to keep our sin. We don't want to be brought into the light. We don't want Jesus because his life and his preaching exposes me. And I don't want to be exposed. So if you do not submit to Jesus, you're not fighting against Jesus. So they persecute him when he was here on earth, Jesus, when he led. And when he ascended to heaven, the world continued to persecute his church, his people. So you ask me why we should be persecuted? Because you follow Jesus. Because of your allegiance to Jesus. Matthew chapter 5. You know, Jesus said this. Blessed are those. Let's read together, shall we? 1, 2, 3. Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Who are attacked and harassed for righteousness' sake. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10. If you continue the verse, he continues to say that blessed are you. When others revile you and persecute you, utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Jesus said, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And you know, one thing I must say, that Jesus is very honest. Very honest. He, in fact, is brutally honest. And tell everyone that if you belong to the kingdom of heaven, you will suffer persecution. You know, he said that this is the reality of the people of the kingdom. They will not be liked. That's the fact. People will hate you. And he repeats in John chapter 15, I choose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you're a Christian, if you're really, really a Christian, the truth is that the world hates you. What is the reality of persecution? How does it look like in the early church? You see, the book of Acts, the people who follow God, the people who believe in Jesus Christ, they were a persecuted people. The world hates them. You read about Paul, how he would go from place to place, city to city, and his enemy would chase after him. He recalled how Stephen stoned to death, and story after story of persecution happened in the early church. Later on, many of the apostles would die for their faith. Many of them would die as a result of persecution. Let me show you this diagram, you know, and shows how all the apostles died. Matthew was impaled by spears. James was thrown off the wall, then cut to death. Peter crucified upside down by Nero. This is the reality. Many of them suffer as a result of persecution. Later on, you read in the early Christian as well, they will be killed for their faith. Emperor Nero will say that, you know, they will torch the believer like a torch. You know, torch them up, burn them up. He said that Nero will also take animal skin and sew it in the Christian and then release wild animals to maul the Christian to death. These are stories that are well known. Christian who are persecuted. You know, I know you must be thinking right now in your head, hey, that's true. Some 2,000 years ago it happened. It certainly, is it true today? Is it the same case today in our modern world? I don't see many persecution. So maybe Jesus must have spoken of something that is relevant in those days, but it's not so today. Is that really the case, church? Just now we just watched a video of how the many parts of the world persecuted Christian, the reality that they are facing. How does it look like today? You know, while we are living in a very shaded world, in this tiny dot on the world map, but the reality in the world today is that there is a lot of persecution around the world. Some websites such as Open Door USA will give you some statistics. They quoted from Pew Research Center that over 75% of the world population live in areas with severe restriction, religious restriction. I'm trying to tell you, you see, according to the set, what Jesus said is still very true today. It's not just in the early years. It's always been the case. This is a picture of persecution. Let me show you a world map. You know, you see in this world map, you see the red zone are where there are extreme persecution of Christians. The orange zone are where there are extreme persecution. The orange zone is where there are severe persecution. The moderate or the green zone are where there are moderate persecution. And blue is where there is sparse persecution. You ask me, Singapore, how? The problem, I cannot see Singapore in the map. You know, I can't see even Singapore. Too small for me to comment. But the reality is that throughout the world, there are forms of persecution. Terrorists, extreme terrorism, who will hunt down and kill Christian. And according to statistics, again from Open Door USA, every month, listen to this, can I have the next slide? Every month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. Every month, 214 churches and Christian property are destroyed. Every month in this world, there are 772 forms of violence against Christians. Beating, kidnap, rape, arrest, forced marriages, etc. Every month. So I think including myself, we are like frog in a well, you know, in Singapore. We live in our happy well, and we think that everything is good, is nice. There are more persecution out there in the world. But if the frog is to just lift up his head a little above the well, you will see that all around the world, what Jesus say is true. Amen. Those who follow Jesus, those who are in the kingdom of heaven, will be persecuted. They face people's attack every day because they follow Jesus. So the reality is, according to the Bible, Christians are a persecuted bunch. How did the persecuted church respond? The response to persecution. What are some of the problems of some responses? You know, except for countries where Christians are really suffering, the church worldwide remain largely lethargic about persecution. And here are some of the responses made when persecution is mentioned. You know, people think that it could never happen here or to me. Living in the 21st century, as prosperity came into Singapore, we started having more and more things. And our eyes began to look at the world, the things that we can get more and so on. we slowly become an entitled generation who thinks that we have the right to lead a good life. We feel that we should be blessed because we are good people. We go to church. We don't do bad things, really bad things. So suffering is not something in our mind at all. It could never happen here, people say, because we are living in a modern, democratic, civilized country. Persecution only happened in the not-so-developed country. We are living in a country with a freedom of religion. There are churches all around this country. So persecution on a large scale could never happen here. Is that true? Is that true? Do you know that Uganda is a majority Christian nation with many active churches? However, Uganda past dictator had slowly influenced the nation to turn against Christianity. As a result, many Christians are facing severe persecution, such as pressure from family members, being severely beaten and attacked when their faith became known. Christian students no longer welcome at school. Therefore, the fact that the church is strong in numbers does not exempt it from suffering. Secondly, people think that persecution is not God's will. Well, I think there is a theological confusion. These people pray and ask God to remove the possibility of persecution. Instead of praying to be adequate in adversity, they pray for the removal of persecution, thinking that it must be entirely of the devil, persecution. But the people feel that persecution is only for the wicked. The righteous one should be spared. Well, think about it. People think no time to think about it. No time to think about persecution. You know, we think there are more important things to think about. Think about how can I live a good life. Think about how can I pursue my goals, the corporate ladder, the first 1 million in my bank, the comfortable life that I want to pursue. We are thinking about how to enjoy now and now. Let's just focus on now and now. The future can wait. When life gets busy to think about persecution, what happened? We will slowly have the illusion that persecution is just not real anymore. How did the persecuted church respond in persecution? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. My first point is that they endure persecution with the right attitude. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16 says, however, if you suffer as Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the suffering of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. 1 Peter 4, 13. If when you read this verse, what does the Bible say when you face persecution? The Bible says, rejoice and be glad. Can you imagine that? When people abuse you, when people want to throw stone at you, what do you do? Rejoice! Will you do that? Well, that's crazy, right? No. Let me tell you, this: if this is spoken by anyone that you heard on the street telling you that, you will say that you siao, are you crazy? You know, this is not spoken by a crazy nut. This is spoken by the Lord Jesus Himself. The Lord Jesus Himself, who Himself went through enormous suffering as He went to the cross. Jesus is saying, when you are persecuted, rejoice and be full of cheer. Be glad. You know, there is a jump of joy. Be rejoiced. You say, this is crazy. This is really beyond me. How can I rejoice in pain, in suffering? How can I rejoice and be glad? I mean, should I be happy about pain? Church, no, no, no. It's not that. But what did Jesus say rejoice about? Rejoice and be glad because your reward is great in heaven. Amen? You know, an illustration I thought of is a mother who is pregnant with a child for 9 months. you know, baby in the womb for 9 months who is going to go through a very painful delivery. You ask a mother, painful or not? Painful or not? Of course, painful. You know, it's very painful, right? Delivery. You know, think about that. Not just the painful delivery. You know, the process, the pregnancy. You know, I remember in the last trimester of Agnes, we went to the gynae. Gynae said, you know, I know how your wife feel. Wrap a 5 kg rice around your belly. Tape it around and go on with your daily routine. You know how it feels like. Painful, difficult. It is, and that's not the end. At the time of delivery, wow, it's a very painful ordeal. It's very painful. And I salute all the mother here who went through labors without epidural. I know the pain because one day when we were delivering Matthew, Agnes was pushing, and when she grabbed my hand, you see my ring was there, and she grabbed me so hard and I was screaming, I was like, ah! Because she screamed, I also screamed. Why? Because the ring on my finger went piercing into my bones. So painful. You know, she was screaming. You know, I'm sure it's extremely uncomfortable. It's extremely painful. But after a year or two, the wife will begin to think about another child. The husband will ask, dear, you sure or not? Honey, I want another child. You sure or not? Don't you remember the pain? Will your husband say that? Yeah, I remember the pain. The wife said, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Look at our son, our daughter, so cute. You know, I want another one. And the husband thinks, it's crazy. When a child is born, the parents rejoice. And when the wife said, honey, I'm pregnant, do you think the husband will say, Jala, you're going to face the painful experience. You're going to be very painful. Will not? No, right? The pastor, the husband will say, yeah, praise the Lord. Because of the pain. Not because of the pain, but because of the fruit of the wound. Amen? So when someone goes through persecution, he doesn't rejoice in the pain. Who else? Who will rejoice in the pain? He doesn't rejoice in the weights. He doesn't rejoice so much in the suffering. But he rejoices in this promise. What is this promise? That after that, your reward is great in heaven. Amen? I have no clue what reward will it be like. But I'm sure that I can trust Jesus when he said it's great. It's got to be worth it. It got to be so worth it. And when we suffer for righteousness' sake, you will join a noble succession, a pretty classy group of people. Who are they? The prophets who were before you. Amen? You know, we have learned a lot from the persecuted church. How they endure persecution. This is a picture of Obadiah Holmes. He is one of the martyrs of faith recorded in the Fox Books of Martyrs. It was said that he has received some 90 strokes on his back, 90 whips on his back. Wow! It was so bad that his back turned into jelly. You know, bloody and beaten up flesh, but Obadiah Holmes, instead of being vengeful and so on, he said to the magistrate who sentenced him to such cruel punishment, thank you, he said this, thank you, for you have struck me with roses. Something beautiful, roses, something fragrant. He said, this is like roses upon me. And he didn't say it in a sarcastic way. You know, a pastor once shared that he was invited to speak in an underground church in China. In the group is one group of young men, about 18 to 25, the audience, and the pastor, this group of people are going to be sent out as missionaries in the Middle East country. So he sat down and asked the young man and woman to tell him about their experience of persecution, because this group of people face a lot of persecution. But the young man and woman was looking at each other, all confused. The pastor quickly explained, he said, I'm not going to do anything. I just want to hear from you the persecution that you face, some of the story. They were like, persecution? Yeah, of course, I will share. But doesn't... Why you want to hear from us? Doesn't everyone face persecution? But the pastor, a little embarrassed, and said, no, this is not where I come from. And they say, the audience began to shout out, say, but Jesus said that if they hate me, they were going to hate you also. They persecute me, they are going to persecute you also. This is just part of life. This young man and woman, it's just part of their life being persecuted. And they began to share with the pastor and how they always had to hide and run away from the government authority. And as they share their intense or near-death experience, they didn't share it with regret or sorrow. They share with passion. And one young girl was standing up and said, you know, you remember one time when the authority was coming, you know, she was riding away from the authority and there was no place to ride. And she managed, she was so skinny that she managed to squeeze through two walls and that the authority came, did not spot her. She was praying inside the wall, you know, God, I pray that you just cover me, you know, protect me, holding tightly to the Bible that she's holding on. And there's another youth stand up and share. One time the authority came and they were having a meeting and they started running. There were about 15 of them. They started run. You know, they are trained to do that, to run. And the authority started firing at them. But the believer know that the authority was just firing on the air. So they started running. You know, and this man was saying that he was running and was thinking, was so cool, you're so cool. As the rest of the young people, what? Hear the testimony, they were also laughing together. They were so happy, so joyous about their experience. And the youth started to ask the pastor that is on stage, why is it so strange that you want to hear our stories? What is your story? Then the pastor said, okay, where I come from is a little bit different. Where I come from, we have this building called church. So we have a bunch of them. And you kind of choose which one you want to attend. And then some people may attend here. Then after some time, they feel that the music is better in that church. So they move and switch to the other church. And then this, at that point of time, the young man would begin to burst out in laughter. They were laughing. They say, ha, ha. Why they laugh? The pastor was puzzled. Why they are laughing? Yeah, the pastor is not trying to tell a joke. Was not, you know, making them laugh. So he continued to say that if the childcare is better here, or if the service time is better, and if the speaker is better, they will switch to another church. They laugh even harder because they find what the pastor say is amusing. You know, it's so strange. You know, we think that this bunch of people there, they are strange because of them rejoicing in their persecution. But they laugh because they find us so weird. They laugh. So the pastor had a revelation thought at the moment. Wow, you know what? It doesn't make sense, does it? As the pastor look at their life and the Bible, their life makes sense with the Bible. Our life, our culture doesn't make sense at all. Think about it. India have over 1 billion people. China have over 1 billion people. The two countries make up about 40% of the world population. So listening to the persecuted church story, we say, very strange, they are weird. But let me tell you, the fact is that we are the weird one. Why? Because a Chinese student commented that it is so weird because why is it going to church is so consumer-driven? Why is it so consumer-driven? And they look at the scripture, they look at the Bible. How in the world does this match up with making disciple? How does this match up with making disciple? Doesn't make sense. So that's why they're laughing, you know, to the persecuted church. Church, to them, is not 2 hours on Sunday. Every day, church, and church is not building. Everywhere they go, the gathering of God's people, studying the word of God, it's the church. The Bible, you know, they hold so dearly to the Bible. The Bible is treasure possession to them. It's not a book. It's the book. The book that they carry tightly to them. And at any point of time when they are available, they will get down and study the word of God. They love the Lord so much. And I believe many of us in the past weeks have become more and more aware of the last days. We are talking about eschatology. And we are looking at certain things in our life and we go, yeah, it doesn't make sense in the way we are living as a church, the way we are doing church. We look at certain things and say, we believe in hell. Then why am I still living this way? Why am I living the way that we live right now? I believe in Matthew 25. Then why am I spending time and money on myself? So this is a whole new attitude for us, church, to learn. Are you listening?
Thank you.
And trust unto God. How the persecuted church respond. Number two, and trust unto God. No temptation have overcome you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. How did the church respond besides having the right attitude? They know that God will take care of them. They are alive depending on every word of God. Overcoming, church, overcoming greater than deliverance. Persecuted church do not pray for persecution to end. They pray that they will be able to stand strong through the persecution. Steve Rickway, a former interim CEO of Open Doors, told this story of a woman in her early 30s. A member of the underground church in the Middle East, she came into deep maturity of her faith. And his close friend, Allison, who met her during a mission trip, shared her this story. When the woman became a follower of Jesus, she was brutally beaten, raped, and falsely accused of criminal acts. She told Allison that when she returned to her country, she would have to stand trial for those crimes and then be sentenced to 1 year in prison. Wrongly accused. But she would have 1 month, you know, of freedom before she would serve out her sentence. So Allison was telling her, quickly leave the country. You know, quickly leave the country so that you will not have to be sentenced, so that you don't have to serve the term. But she declared to Allison that she will not leave, but remain and serve her year in prison, to be a witness for Christ. Continue to suffer persecution for the sake of the lost. A young man at the point of time across the table from her then spoke out. He said that when she finished her term in prison, he would marry her. In this culture, it is shameful to even associate a woman who has been raped. Rickway considered this remarkable choice of the woman and the brother in Christ. Why? And he asked, why would you return to the place of shame? Why would this young man marry a woman who is shameful? They return because they say, who will be the loving presence of Jesus Christ if I leave? Who will be the loving presence of Jesus Christ if I leave? It doesn't make sense, right? But it does tell me that God is present. Praise the Lord. In His presence, I'm filled with joy. Joy unspeakable and filled with glory. We, in this country, hardly with any persecution, and are so busy that, church, we miss the deep abiding joy of being in His presence. The persecuted church have such intimacy with the Lord that they trust Him totally. Amen? The reason of persecution, thirdly, purification and perfection. Persecution has a purifying effect of the church. Persecution is safeguard against worldliness and waywardness. Throughout history, the church has not only survived during times of persecution, but it has been purer. Tertullian, a second century Christian, said that the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. The blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. Widespread and prolonged persecution will produce growth and renewal of commitment in the church as a whole. And the persecution endured by the individual Christian will generally result in greater personal commitment to the Lord. Not only that, there will be a ceasing of sin from sin and a more holy life, but there will be a more entrusting of the soul to the Creator while doing what is right. Problem, when respond correctly, are character builders. Amen? God is more interested not in your character, is more interested in your character than your comfort. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Not only so, but we glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character hope. We embrace the path to maturity with hope, knowing that our Heavenly Father will turn this around and bring good. Persecution is the path to take if we want to walk that journey of faith towards future glory. So the reason of persecution is really purification and perfection, purifying the church to be stronger, closer to God. Second, the reason of persecution is to advancement of God's kingdom. We see that the apostles were very effective in preaching the gospel. They filled Jerusalem with their teaching. It took persecution to drive the church, what, beyond Jerusalem and to go out into the wider world. The reality of our faith is never more on display than when others oppose us. The bonus with which we continue to grow in our devotion when persecuted show the authenticity that we are found in Christ, that our relationship with God is close. Do you know that the country of Sri Lanka, during the years of British rule, church leaders have strong influence in high places, a seat at the table of political power. So there were little persecution, but there were very few conversion. Then the country changed. A militant Hindu government that were more hostile came to power. Persecution began, broke out, and with it, a flood of conversion of Christ like the church had never been seen before. Persecution has a sanctifying effect on the church. People who are Christian in name only leave the church when persecution comes, right? It is going to cost me something. I'm going to get out of here. The church gets smaller. But those who remain find themselves praying like never before. The bonds of fellowship become closer. And the spiritual temperature rise, and non-believers are drawn by the reality of this spiritual life as never before. That's why more and more people will come to know the Lord. I've no doubt in my mind that that will happen, you know, when persecution break out. And the culture that we live in, serve today, is becoming more hostile towards Christian and churches. 20% of the people in our world will say that they are Christian. And what is the level of spirituality in our culture? Very low. The blessing of freedom lead us to an experience of a comfortable life. A comfortable life produces lethargic of spirit. And that's why fasting and giving and serving and risking are so important to our spiritual health. It's so important. The third reason of persecution: present and future glory. There is a fellowship with Christ and an anointing of the Spirit that you can experience in the face of suffering. It's greater than you will experience at any other time. You know, the promise and experience of blessing in the face of mockery, persecution is all over the Bible. Ridicule, mockery, slander. And Peter said that if you are insulted for the name of Christ, if you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Apostle Peter spoke of entering into the fellowship of Christ's suffering. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. There is a fellowship with Christ when you share the cup of this suffering. Amen? You know, we are given a wonderful picture of that in the book of Daniel. Three godly men who, Shishrak, Meshach, and Abednego, their hands are tied. They were thrown in the fiery furnace. The king looked into the fire and asked his counselor, did we just cast three men into the furnace? I see four. They are not bound. They are walking in the furnace. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. That is Christ with you in flames of affliction. Amen? Persecution Christian comes to know more of the reality of the presence of God. You know, their relationship becomes more deeper and more intimate than when a believer is unwilling to suffer. It's like the connection between two soldiers going through the thick of battle together. They fight together. They went through the battle together. Their relationship will be much more closer than in peacetime friendship. Agree or not? You know, the amount of battle they go through will bring the bond together even closer. Remember, we have the privilege of growing our relationship with the Lord in this was only during our earthly time. There will be no persecution in heaven. It's only on this time on earth that we can go through that. The glory of heaven will more than compensate for any suffering and must endure in the service of Christ. So one reason Christians fall away when they are persecuted is that they forget the reward. Instead of focusing on the immediate problem, we need to concentrate on the end result. That's what I've mentioned just now. No matter how much we suffer for the Lord, it will be worth it. Amen? Amen. The Christian and Smyrna were facing tribulation and about to cast into prison. But Jesus' promise is that if they were faithful until death, He will give them a crown of life. The higher calling should help us to endure the scorn. And we often experience as a Christian fellow in a secular culture. Recently, I read about Richard Wurmbrand. We watched this video before, one of Pastor's sermon. Richard Wurmbrand is famous for some of his books like Torture for Christ. He's a Romanian pastor who lived during a time when Romania was under communist rule. He was persecuted for his faith, for preaching the gospel of Jesus, and he was sentenced to imprisonment. He was sentenced to a torture for 14 years, church, 14 years. And inside the prison, he will sometimes face solitary confinement. It is kind of torture where there will be no sun, no light allowed, so that he will be living in absolute darkness. Absolute darkness. Living in darkness for a while is fine. But listen, living in darkness for weeks, months is another story. You know, they would also knock off all kinds of sound input. The soldier will walk around with no shoes, so there will be no sound. So they are trying to torture him with no light, no sound, no input. Can you imagine this kind of mental torture? And they are all just geared to torture him mentally. But they also torture him physically. You know, they will beat him. And they will rip out sometimes chunk of flesh from his body. They say that they will. He said that they will beat his sole of the feet so badly, so many times that the flesh literally drop off. And then they will beat him again tomorrow until it goes to the bone. And he said that there are no words that will describe the kind of pain that he went through. And he will be so run down that he looks like scarecrow. They say with rotten teeth in prison. But the amazing thing about all that he said that he had joy in prison. It's crazy, joy in prison. I mean, this is something that we don't understand, and wow, I find it hard to preach on, but there is joy. And then after 14 years, one day he was released from prison. And when he was on his way home, he met another person, a farmer,
who offered him strawberry. I mean, imagine 14 years you have eaten rubbish and now strawberries. He said, no, I'm not having strawberry. I'm going to fast. Fast for what? He said he wants to go home. He's going to fast with his wife. He's going to fast with his wife. He said he wanted to fast and pray so that it will be a memory to remember. You say, remember what? Remember the suffering? No. That will be what I would say, right? But he wanted to pray and fast to remember the joy. To remember the joy that he experienced. Wow. To remember what? I thought it's all about suffering. No, no, no. It's not about suffering. He said, I had joy, and he prayed, God, give me the same joy outside prison as I would have inside prison. These are people who are in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And there are the people who will say, I can rejoice and be glad, for my reward is great in heaven. Praise the Lord. Church, before I close the message today, you know, I'd like to ask everyone now, in this church. So now, we know that the reality of persecution, right? We know how persecuted Christians and the churches responded. We understand the reason of persecution. So is that all? You say, thank you, Elder Andy, for the information. I will take note. Is that how we close? No, that's not how we're going to close. We're going to talk about, no, we have just talked about persecution, right? Persecution. Persecution means that we will endure what? Suffering, very good. Suffering for what? Suffering for who? For what? For Christ, amen? Suffering for Christ. The Bible tells you have joy because you can rejoice. Because the reward in the future, very good. You know, future reward. But is that what we naturally look at? Suffering? Probably not, right? So what do we look to instead of persecution? We look forward to, any answer? Instead of persecution, we look forward to, any answer? Reward, joy, or maybe more specific. Instead of suffering, we are looking for blessing. Yeah? Right now, we are looking for blessing, health, wealth, blessing. We look for, another person said, good life. We want a good life. We want good life. It's good life that is filled with comfort, success, abundance. Whatever you want to use to describe this good life, you can think about. And this is what we look for. Every one of us in this room, no doubt, we want to live a good life. It is what you look for. It is why you work so hard for. Correct now. Every one of us work so hard. Why you send your kids to have so many tuition? Tuition after tuition. You know why? Because you don't want him to suffer, right? You want him to do well in study. And so that we'll have good life. Am I right? You want to have good life. And you want your children to have good life. Let me ask you, why do you come to church? Why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you sign up in a sense to be a Christian church? Is it because of suffering? Is it because of suffering? No. No, right? We are not here to sign up because of suffering. We sign up because of? And this is a question I'd like you to ask yourself. You know, it's like signing up for a membership and you look at the terms and condition. And what is the terms of condition you're looking for? Why do people come to church today? How do people look for a church today? Very simple. A church that gives me comfort. Correct, no? So maybe the church in the West, Jurong, wow, so far, a bit far, not so convenient, especially. Wow, the car park are so few. You know, I got to park my car somewhere very far and then walk under the sun to church. I better look at a church near my house with big car park. Better they serve lunch as well. Aircon, nice chair. After I got coffee, you know, good church. I'll go to that church. Rain just now. Better don't go to church. Why? Rain. Go home and watch video better. You know? Let me ask you, is this what we subtly believe? Church? Is that what we subtly believe? Well, you say I'm a part of the church. I want to be part of this community. Because somehow I believe that when I'm part of the church, when I'm a follower of Jesus, God will bless me. My career will take off. My family will be good. And when I'm sick, I can pray to someone and he will heal me when the doctor can't. Well, deep within your heart is that belief that following Jesus give me good life. Right or not? But fundamentally, the problem is that when you want that good life, who is it for? Who is it for? For me. For self, for me. That's right, for self. You see, my Christianity is centered around me. No, I'm not saying that God cannot heal you. I'm not saying that God cannot give you material abundance. He can. Sometimes he does. But you see, the problem is not, it's now we think that the whole world revolves around me. God exists for me. I'm now really God. My desire, my wishes are more superior things of my life. My motto in life is not about future reward, but it's about enjoy now. It's about now and now. How can I live a good life? You know, a vast majority of people, I'm afraid, is living in this side. This side. There is this whole spectrum, I know. This whole spectrum. Suffering, you know, you're not someone who say, you know, I'm all to suffer for Jesus. You may also be someone who is all about good life. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle, somewhere in the middle. But let me share with you the reality, church. In other parts of the world, the Christian term and condition is a bit different. The term and condition includes persecution for Christ's sake. You see, the call of the Bible is not for you to find your life for yourself. Now, the call of Jesus is for you to deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow him. It's the way of the cross. The Bible teaches us that there are plenty of people who suffer for their faith. I mean, you read in Hebrew, they are flogged, they are mocked, they were sore, they were killed, they were afflicted, mistreated. I mean, this is what the gospel called people to have to experience at times. And these are the pictures that people have recorded of the past. You know, whenever I read the Bible, and every time you read the Bible, something hits you. And one thing that hits me now so frequently is the suffering and persecution mentioned over and over again. It's like Paul saying, I will glory in nothing, not my gift, nor my eloquence, but in my suffering. The marks of apostleship is not his charisma, but it is suffering. Wow! Apostle Paul said that Christian life is not where you fulfill yourself. Find yourself, huh? I tell you what Christian life is. It is where you lose yourself. You lose yourself. You're able to die to self. You know, in the Bible, there is this James and John came to Jesus and said, Lord, when you go to heaven, can I see on your right hand and on your left hand? Can the two of us be your big general on your left and on the right? You know what Jesus said to them? What did Jesus say to them? Jesus said to them, if you want to sit on my right and my left hand, are you able to take the cup of suffering? You see, he did not say to sit on my left and the right, you got to be very eloquent. You must be having the biggest church in Jerusalem. No, those who are the right and the left are those who suffer for Christ. The Bible is so shocking to us when it shouldn't be, right? Because this is what we've been reading. That is the kingdom of heaven. It's a different world, a different system, a different value. So Paul said, or Acts tell us that Paul was encouraging them to continue in faith. Why?
And saying that we, that through many persecution, we must enter the kingdom of God. That kingdom of God is not a bed of roses. It is called to suffer. So suffering is the badge of true Christian. So let me close with another story about Richard Rembrandt. He suffered much. And this is what he wrote in a book called The Triumph of the Church. He said, I remember last Sunday school, I took a group of 10 to 15 boys and girls on a Sunday morning, not to church. I took these boys and girls not to church, but to the zoo. Before the cage of lions, I told them, your forefathers in faith were thrown before such wild beasts for their faith. Know that you will also have to suffer. You will not be thrown before lion, but you will have to suffer at the hands of men. What would be much worse than lion, than suffer in the hands of men? So decide now and here whether you wish to pledge allegiance to Christ. Church, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And maybe after today, I will not see you again. Because you say there's too much to lose by following Jesus. Yes, you have to lose yourself, church. You have to deny yourself, but you will receive much more. I say it again, you will receive much more in the light of eternity that is not far from here. Amen? Decide now and now whether you wish to pledge allegiance to Christ and decide how you will change the way you live, church. Amen? In summary, I want to say this. Know that the persecution is not unusual. It shall come with our pledge of allegiance to God. Examine our church, examine our heart, and repent of any sense of entitlement of living a good life. What must you surrender? Today is the time where you surrender. Number two, accept the cause with the right attitude. We will be courageous when we face persecution because of the example we learn from the persecuted church. Because we know that we are suffering for Christ and for walking the journey of faith towards glory. What new mindset do you need to seek, church? Can I invite the worship team up? Third, modern faith and courage. Model faith and courage before our children and disciple. And making the cause of discipleship clear, we will model that we will be ready to face persecution because of the glory awaits us. How and what can you share with your children? Think about it. Lastly, include this in your regular prayer. Church, I think we need to pray for the persecuted church. Set a time weekly to pray for the persecuted believer. In one of the countries that face much persecution, pray for the missionaries and many others who are enduring the suffering for Christ's sake. Would you pray for them? Can I now invite all of you to stand?
Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hands? Everything we have, use it for your plan. Won't you, Lord, take a look at our hearts? Mold it, refine it, as you set us apart. We want to run to the altar and catch the fire to stand in the gap between the living and the dead. Give us a heart of compassion for a world without vision. We will make a difference, bringing hope to our land.
So music continue. You know, the gospel tells us of God giving his son to die for our sin. Jesus did not come to live it up. He came to give it up.
He gave His life up for us. And if you claim to follow Jesus, then your goal cannot be, I want to live it up. But your goal must be, how can I give it up? How can I give it up for all to Jesus? Following Jesus, who said, for the joy that sets before Him, endure the shame, despising the shame, endure the cross, is now seated at the right hand of God. That is the path of Christianity. Present suffering, future glory. Amen. Jesus promised that at the end of all of it, when Jesus returned, all suffering, all sickness, all sorrow will go. But till now, till then, let us be faithful to our servant, to our Savior. Till then, let us count our life not dear to us, but may we testify the glory of the gospel of the grace of God. Center yourself in this kingdom, church, His will. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. Would you sacrifice your life today for the church? Would you bear up with all kinds of inconvenience today for His name's sake? Church, today, if this is you, if you say, yes, Lord, I'm willing, I want to invite you to just come forward to the altar. I want to pray for you. You say, Lord, I want to surrender. I want to surrender all. But if you say, I'm afraid, I don't know how you will look like, I want to invite you to come. I want to pray for you. I pray that you will have the courage to face what is ahead. You will have the boldness and the grace that comes from the Lord. And if you are here today for the first time, you do not know Jesus, I invite you to believe in His finished work for you. He is the promised Savior. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by Him. And He promised that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life, everlasting life. I want to invite you to come forward to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. As we sing the chorus once again, can I invite all of you to step forward to the altar and pray for Him.
Want to run to the altar?
Let's run to the
and
altar.
Catch the fire.
To the stand, you make a decision
between the living and the dead. Give us a heart of compassion for a world without vision. We will make a difference, giving hope to our land.
So Father, we thank You this morning that we can hear Your word. Bless Your people here that we might find our contentment and joy and security and assurance and peace in the gospel. May the peace of God that surpass all understanding guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. We pray that this church, BC, will be a missionary people. That our Christianity is not about gathering on Sundays. It's not about doing the ritualistic things on the outside, but will be a heart of passion for You, for Your name. May we as a church find courage to stand fast in this evil day. May we receive Your sufficient grace in abundant measure, Lord. Multiply the grace to endure. May we find encouragement, assurance, and hope in the knowledge that however the persecution, they were just for a moment. That will produce in them a glory that will vastly outweigh the present torment that we are enduring. Lord, knowing that we are participating in the suffering of Savior, thank You, Lord, for this. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.